everyone. Welcome back to High T Hoops. This is Brian Boucher at the Duke of Hoops. And today we have our first returning guest, the man, the myth, the legend, Sky Sports presenter, Yanni. What's up, man?
Yes, yes. Brian Boucher, such a hard name.
Did you know you were the first returning guest?
I did not know I was the first returning guest.
First one. That's who you're the first we've invited back. You love to see it.
Oh, wow. For the second. Yeah. For the second round. It's kind of like X Factor. If you do all right, you get to come back.
You get to come back. The recurring pod. Love it.
Well, how are you, bro?
Doing well. We just finished up the BBL, WBBL season. So hopping back onto the NBA, WNBA. Yeah. It's just too much to cover multiple leagues at once.
It is a lot.
It's a lot, especially when there's like, it's like 100 playoff rounds going on right now. So even NBA is enough in itself.
That's it, mate. That's it. There's enough going on with these first rounds. Carnage. Absolute carnage.
But let's start with what the people actually want to hear about. We met in person. You took me to a little, you took me to a little nook and cranny in East London. We hooped together.
Yeah.
Incredible. Fat dubs all night. Loved that.
How was that?
It was so fun, man. Number one pick, Larry, lit the gym on fire with his three-pointers.
Yeah. For anyone listening, so I bring Brian to this run in East London, just tucked away in some little community center. And they make Brian captain. There's four teams. They're like, okay, Brian, you're going to be a captain. He was like, all right, I know absolutely nobody here. And then he goes and picks, well, one of the best players there, Larry. He's a 6'4" Lithuanian don. And just rains threes. Yeah, big fat W's for Yanni, Brian, and Larry all night. It was good
fun, man.
Of
course, picked
good
up Yanni. Of course, had to pick you up.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
We ran. We didn't lose once. We lost. We technically lost the last game, but that was just because time expired. We did not lose to seven.
Man was tired as hell, bro. I've been eating too many Jaffa cakes, bro. That's it. It just is what it is.
I know. After 12 straight wins, we're like, all right, like let's let the other people just get
all
one
right,
win.
Bro. Come on, man. No, I was surprised, bro. You're a serious hooper.
I'm just trying to stay in shape, man. I'm over 30 now. I'm inspired by LeBron, who's, 36 and still getting up like 12 feet.
That's it. Washed Brian.
Try not to be washed Brian in this. all right, but let's go. We haven't covered any of the NBA as we've gone through the play-in tournament. So I wanted to get some of your thoughts. Play-in tournament. Do you like it? Yeah. Do you want to see it again? What are your thoughts of the entire experience?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm absolutely here for it. Like, I mean, yeah, we're not seeing Steph Curry in when normally we would with them being the eighth seed. But we got to see Steph Curry in some, do you know what I mean, win or go home games. It's exciting stuff. Like, and my immediate thought would be, you know, if the 7 and 8 seed played and then it was immediate knockout from there, then it'd be like, oh, that's a bit techie. But they go into a loser's bracket, man. And if you lose to the Memphis Grizzlies, you lose to the Memphis Grizzlies. It is what it is. But it's exciting stuff. And it's the first time the NBA, we as football fans in the UK are used to one game knockout games, as we see, well, you know, as we see often. But NBA haven't really seen it. So, I mean, it's good. It's fresh. Who am I to complain? It's good stuff, man.
Because usually the end of the season is just like so many tank jobs. No one's actually playing. And it actually made the last few weeks of the season really fun.
It did.
And competitive.
So fun and competitive. It's mad. For the past 7 years, we have collectively switched off from the NBA about 3 weeks before the season.
Yep.
Because everyone's been locked in.
And we didn't.
No
and
more.
If you're Draymond Green, you got to hit the floater, you're out. You know, like if the Grizzlies take
you
on.
Bro, that was me on Monday night.
Getting the touch back.
I felt his pain.
That was your first time back. That was his like end of the season, like peaking floater. You did not want to shoot that. Oh,
that was
God.
A big old brick from Draymond Green. I'm happy. This situation, Warriors wouldn't have done anything anyway. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, they weren't a good team this year.
They but need to play.
I loved LeBron taking Curry's powers. Hitting like the deep game-winning three, even the Curry reaction to that, he just looked back at him. He's like, "Are you fucking kidding me, man? Like you're gonna hit that in my face?"
I mean, I was there. I was there watching the game. I was up early hours of the morning watching the game, and he just like my immediate like thought was, "Oh, he's just flinged it. Like he's just chucked it." But like
it was pure.
It was
a good shot.
He holds the follow through. That was the longest shot of the season. That was LeBron's
it was legitimately
shot of the NBA season.
Oh my God. He was forced into it. It's not like he'd pulled up for like Dame or something, but he hit it. He hit it, his time expired. Took the soul of the Warriors.
He hit that ish straight away. And I tell you what, in the first round, Lakers Suns, LeBron was hitting turnaround faders, pure, yep, long twos, pure, like, oh man, you look, and he's not even driving to the rim.
No,
he's not even driving to the rim. I looked at the stats of his field goal attempts in and around the rim during the first round of the playoffs. And the past four or five times he's been in the playoffs, he's been in and around 47%. So 47% of his field goal attempts in and around the rim, he's used to bulldozing in, getting through the lane.
Yeah.
But this year is 17. And I hear that because he's got a bad ankle. And when you've got a bad ankle, you don't want to go in the damn lane. It's very hurts, relatable man. Content.
You know what else it is? What? I lived in Detroit for a few years, got to see Andre Drummond all the time. It's fucking impossible to drive into the paint with Andre Drummond not spacing the floor at all. That guy just sits at the rim, is a gigantic human. It's so funny they're spacing with that. But we're going to get into the rounds in a minute. Before we hop in, I have now moved to London. So I've been living in London. I'm feeling this time zone change pain. Wow. I don't know how you do it. Like that all last year, Skylar and I covering the NBA playoffs, we're in the time zone. Like we're like, oh, it's like 10 p.m. It's a little late for this game. Like, can we wrap this up? Yeah. Holy shit. The 4 a.m. game. I wake up early and the games are still on.
Same. I know.
I don't know how you do it.
I really don't know. It is somewhat of a treat if you're an early riser. I'll be getting up at 5 o'clock for work.
Yeah, you get the 5 a.m. games, get the Pacific Coast game still on.
I wake up. Let's catch the fourth quarter of the Grizzlies Utah game.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not? That is the only saving grace if you're waking up at 5 a.m. for work, which isn't the saving grace in itself at all. So realistically, it's a real mess, bro.
You got to be committed. Unless, like, I love these Sunday matchups or Saturday matchups where they're a little bit earlier in the day so you can actually watch them.
Yeah, man,
but
you got to try your best to catch those Sunday games. And you just got to stay on top, like, wake up, box scores. Then maybe catch the 2-minute highlights with the guy commentating over it with a little bit more, do you know what I mean? With a little bit more info. And then if you're really on it, you'll catch the 9-minute MLG highlights.
Yep. Otherwise, though, it's like, it's so funny in the States. Like, if you want to be a Premier League fan, it's really fun. We have NBC covers it. It's Premier League mornings. And usually, like, you know, most of the games will start around like 7. So you go to a pub, 7 a.m., have a little breakfast, have a couple pints. It's like, it's a wonderful experience.
The Americans are winning.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just the morning, like, it's shift.
And we're
like,
taking big fat L's.
You really are in this time zone.
Big time zone L's.
All right. Well, let's get into the first round here. Favorite matchup. So what would you say? Let's start with one. Favorite matchup you've seen so far.
My favorite matchup I've seen so far might be the Hawks-Knicks.
Really? Ooh. All right.
I think there's a lot in the Memphis-Utah matchup.
I hate the Jazz. I'm on record to say this.
I'm sure.
So they drive me crazy. I do like the Grizzlies a lot. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Knicks? Do you want to start with Knicks or do you want to start with Jazz?
I'll start with the Knicks.
Okay, let's go Knicks. So are there UK Knicks fans seems to be a pretty big population. So this is pretty electric for them to get their first playoff win in years.
It's crazy. And Trae Young with the loss and still dropped 30 points. But the Knicks, they're kind of just built for this now.
Yeah, they are rough. And they're like the old grit and grind Grizzlies. Like they are, it's not pretty. They just battle it out. It's not a super smooth game compared to, I don't know, like the Jazz or the teams with better ball movement. But you're right, man. They just are built for this like tough MSG. The crowd being back is transformational for this team.
Damn. Derrick Rose, 26 points last night.
Yeah. He's been huge. Big. Tibbs,
so,
Derrick Rose.
So big. And Derrick Rose has been like, I mean, you mentioned he was at Detroit and he was like middling just on dead Cleveland teams. And but now he's actually back.
Tibbs gives him superpowers, knows exactly how he wants to use them.
That's it. Just like Doc Rivers is the Tobias Harris whisperer, Derrick Rose has Tom Kidd. That's it. Exactly. I really like this Knicks team. Julius Randle, RJ Barrett. Yeah, fantastic. Really enjoying them actually. And Emmanuel Quickley.
Yeah. Yep. IQ.
Sorry, they, are, they do just have a lot of players that you kind of like, but Emmanuel quickly.
RJ Alex Barrett's Burks, been stepping up. RJ Barrett had that huge dunk.
Fat dunk. Big fat dunk. Reggie Bullock, Nerlens Noel. These guys are all playing well.
It's like the second chance Knicks, you know? It's like a lot of these guys who weren't doing that well came over, get their second chance with Tibbs, have the crowd back at MSG. Who do you think is going to win this one?
Do you know what? This is like, I feel like this is one of those that's going to go to seven.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those go to seven. I know
it's going back to Atlanta.
I know the Hawks are looking forward to them going back to the A.
I think the Knicks, I'm a big, Carmelo Anthony is my favorite player. So I was like a borrowed Knicks fan for a while because they basically just took every Nuggets player on that Carmelo trade. But I think the Hawks are going to rip their heart out. I don't know. The Trae Young, the Capella, they've been on fire the last few weeks.
I think the Hawks have got a lot of, not just quality, they've got a lot of veteran quality as well. With Danilo,
yep.
Bogdanovic, Trae Young being the youngster out of all of that and still being the best player, and Clint Capella, who people forget is
on the team, guy that played and great
alongside James Harden for 6 years.
Didn't he lead the league in rebounds this year too? Like he has been, he's been legitimate this year.
I think the biggest, seriously legit, Clint Capella. I'm telling you, anyone who had him on fantasy was a real winner. I can tell you, I did not.
Julius Randle, I think he's going to make the difference here. Hasn't played that well up to this point.
Not by the box scores, no.
Which is why I'm like, all right, I think like Trae Young stepping up. I've never been a huge Trae Young fan, but you like can't deny these floaters. I mean, he is going to get it in there. But I think it's going to be like, how is Julius Randle going to step up here? And I think that's going to really determine it.
Yeah, I think so too. We're going to need to see 25-7-7 Julius Randle from the regular season.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's hop over to this Jazz series, which I hate, Yanni. Tell me why you like it. There is some drama. There is some tea around it. But like, what are some of the things that are exciting to you?
There is. It's just the fact that. Well, do you know what? Speaking of Sky Sports, I listened to Mo chat 3 minutes just dropping bars on how dead the Utah Jazz are.
How what are dead? How
funny
good
it is. No, how dead they are, and just how funny it is that they lost the first game, and talking about how no one has been less scared of a first seed in years, a first seed in the West in years, et cetera, et cetera. The matchup's interesting because everyone was really happy after Utah lost their first game.
Yep.
And there is every possibility that Utah go and just sweep it from here on out, by the way. They are the first seed for a reason. They've won a lot of games, but nobody likes to admit it. It's like, yeah, it's just classic. It's like when Westbrook has a really good stretch, nobody's really talking. When Utah have really good stretches, you don't really hear that much.
Yeah, I went on a pod before the season to talk about the Jazz, and I was like, you're never getting out of the second round of the playoffs with this team. And then they became the number one seed in the season. So that was a terrible take. But you're right. Like, no one cares about the Jazz. No one wants them to succeed, really. But you're right. Like, they won game two pretty convincingly. They were just pouring in the threes. But the first game is... Go ahead.
Yes, they were just pouring in threes. Just points totals, very simply, by Utah last night against Memphis. 141-129 in a win. 20 points from Mike Conley, 21 from Rudy Gobert, Royce O'Neal with 14, Bogdanovic with 18, Donovan Mitchell drops 25, Joe Ingles 14, and Jordan Clarkson 15.
Look at that team breakdown.
Bro, that's a lot. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of near 20-point scoring, and that is a real, real good team. From 1 through to 7, Joe Ingles and Jordan Clarkson. Like, I mean, they were effectively the two sixth man of the year candidates, and one of them won it.
And Mitchell came back for the game two. And after game, this is where, like, the Jazz are dead, and, like, the Jazz are, like, there are so many funny tweets roasting the Jazz of, like, the Donovan Mitchell versus Rudy Gobert, like, showdown, and the team doesn't side with Mitchell. So Mitchell was held out of game one for that ankle injury. And he did not like it, publicly roasting the Utah Jazz training staff. What do you think about it? Calling them out?
I don't know. Like, I get it, though. I get it. Like,
he was pissed.
Yeah. If he just didn't agree, naturally. He was just like, bro, I'm ready to go. What's holding me out of this? Because players feel it. Players know that going down one in the series is techie. Look at the Clippers. They went one down in what they thought was a blip. And then out of nowhere, suddenly, they're 2-0 down.
Let's go there next. Like, I'm done with the Jazz. Mitchell came back. They're strong. They might win it. I'm sick. I hope they lose in the second round so bad.
The matchup, the Jazz Grizzlies matchup is interesting because of everyone hating the Jazz and because of Ja Morant, who dropped 47 last night, which is ridiculous.
Ja, he tried to dunk on Gobert.
He did. He did not succeed.
He did not succeed, but he was not scared. I love to see it.
No, he loves it.
Mavs Clippers.
I think my favorite actual matchup is the Mavs Clippers, since I just touched on it.
Are you a Clippers hater? Are you Paul George? Are you?
I'm not a Clippers hater whatsoever. Okay. No, I think I'd happily watch them get to the Western Conference Finals. I'd happily watch them win it. But damn,
man. I like last year, Skylar and I had to like agree. All right, no more playoff P. No more like we can't roast Paul George anymore.
Yeah.
And he begs.
He don't care.
He doesn't care, but he begs for it. He lives for it. He begs for it. How can you come out with a quote that says, you know, like, we're not worried. You're down 0-2. You're not in a, like, he's like, we're not worried. The locker room, we're still in a place of control. You are not in control. It's not like the
thing, man, you're losing control. You're losing.
You dropped your two at home.
You literally, now you have to go into Dallas. Dallas haven't had fans in there for yonks. They're going to be pumped. Luka Doncic in front of his home crowd. Help me. Actually, don't help me. Help Patrick Beverley. Because they were hunting Pat Bev on every single possession. It wasn't even funny. You got Tim Hardaway.
Yep.
You got Tim Hardaway matched up on Pat Bev. Coming up on screen action. Ghost screening. Barely even sticking. Just so they can get the switch onto Pat Bev.
Every time. And then Luka just screaming out, "You're too fucking small," when he took him to the rack.
You're too fucking small.
Just yelling. He's just complaining to the ref, Pat Bev. It's like, Pat, why aren't Kawhi and Paul George guarding him and locking him down? Or try? I guess they can't. Like, he is literally unstoppable with these shots. It's unbelievable.
He's routinely making Kawhi and PG just redundant. Like, routinely.
It's unbelievable. These are like two of the best wing guards.
No, this is what I'm saying, bro. I said this on a show yesterday. The chubby Slovenian kid coming to the NBA and hitting one leg three pointers, turnaround teardrops,
fade away one leggers,
telling these men they're too fucking small. He's doing this to America's premier wing defenders.
Two-time Finals MVP, Kawhi Leonard,
and the guy that has won championships on two different teams, Kawhi Leonard. It's hilarious. It is categorically. Well, fucking funny.
And it's not like he is stepping. I like having someone like that you can rely on is so huge for these games, as we saw with, with number one pick Larry. When someone's just cashing, it just makes everyone, it's so much easier on the court.
It just takes a bit of weight off his shoulders, man.
But like, I love comparing NBA to pickup, by the way. That is definitely going to be a shtick of mine. So Yanni, when we were playing, like, this happened to us in game four of the East London game.
Game like, four of the Monday Night Madness.
Yeah, exactly. 1-7-4 in a tough fought battle. But for like this one, like Porzingis is working off, Hardaway's work. It's like so much easier for all of these other players to step up. And like this team is coming together. I just don't know, like, I'm like, okay, if Luka's going to step up like this, is this like LeBron in the late 2000s where he stepped up? Are the Mavs going to make it to the finals? I don't know. I don't know if they have the supporting cast for it.
Cleveland 2007 vibes. This Mavs team is better than what LeBron has had as a supporting cast back in 2007 anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they got the unicorn. All right, we got time for one more series, Yanni. What do you want to do?
It.
Bucks Heat, Lakers Suns. We can skip the Nuggets Trailblazers. Like, please, Nuggets, just come through. I can't do a first-round exit this year.
It's all right, bro. It's 1-1. Although,
1-1.
I think your worry should come from the idea that, like, it's just very, very, like, well, not even like, it's just very, very possible that the Blazers come through on this.
Yeah. And Jamal
it's
Murray
just
got
very
hurt.
Much
I was like, all
within
right,
Damian
I'll temper.
Lillard's locker.
Okay, let's do two back-to-back real quick. Bucks Heat, rematch of last year where the Heat took down the Bucks. Giannis, unbelievable press conference as well before, said I don't know if this is going to be different, like not inspiring a lot of confidence in fans. But yeah. Chris Middleton coming through. What have you thought of this series?
I'm saying, man, I've seen this man go shot for shot with the best players in the league, and he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He will go shot for shot with these man. The Bucks have added Drew Holiday.
So
Drew Holiday, my people, please help me. Like, if you know ball, you watch this man, and you go, okay, right, 1 through 5. Oh dear, it seems Drew doesn't have a problem with any of it. Mm-hmm. He's widely recognized as the best defender in the league by players, but not by the ESPN First Take lot. And do you know who I care more about? Yeah, we know the answer to that one. So bun them. Drew Holiday added to this Bucks team alongside PJ Tucker. It means that this Bucks team are far too much for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I think it's not a rematch. You're right. I mean, Drew Holiday for Bledsoe. Yeah, it's not a rematch. That's transformational.
It's transformational, which means that the Bucks have thrown their hat into the ring. There's just absolutely no reason why they can't go toe-to-toe with every single team in this league. I think the team that gives would give the Bucks the most problems is probably the Lakers.
Yeah.
Probably the Lakers.
It's a tough matchup down low, too.
And all the Nets. The Nets are a real issue.
The Nets, always. Giannis has also stepped up and just... He is so dominant in the paint while also being so bad at free throws and getting 10-second violations. Wow, we got another Shaq on our hands. All right,
We've literally got another Shaq.
A more athletic, a young Shaq, a skinny Shaq. I don't know. Another Shaq on our hands.
Skinny Shaq. I think about this often, actually, and how Giannis is our new Shaq. And I am comforted with the fact that Giannis can wet threes.
Yeah.
He can wet threes. There's a difference between he does wet threes and he can, but he can.
And they don't need him to. They hit a ton of threes. If you have Bryn Forbes, you don't need Giannis to shoot threes.
Man like Bryn. New player.
All right, Lakers-Suns. Let's hit this 1-1. Lakers are – just imagine being Chris Paul. Make it to the Suns. Get to the number 2 seed. Transform this franchise. And then you have to face the Lakers in round 1 with LeBron.
This stinks, mate. It absolutely stinks. Chris Paul is not my favorite player in the league. He's my favorite player in the league. Oh, man. Honestly, I was up watching that one as well. The Suns without Chris Paul are not a playoff team.
No, they're not. They weren't last year.
Healthy all year. Like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, what the hell does he deserve this for? I have absolutely no idea. We'll see in game 3, but there's no way he's healthy in game 3. Like, he's not.
He's hurting.
He's going to be hobbled. He's going to be hobbled as hell, and he's probably going to play.
This is where, like, they missed out on the 1 seed. They could have made it. The Jazz just had a strong finish. The play-in tournament could have shook out differently. The Suns, I think, would have definitely beaten the Warriors if they would have won that game.
The Suns would have pummeled the Warriors.
Yeah, and Ayton is playing so well. Like, he's finally stepping up. Like, he had this. It's not just the dunks. Like, he had this reverse layup on Anthony Davis where I was like, how did you even hit that angle? But Booker's been great. 1-1. This is going to be a battle. I can't.
This is
going to
be a battle. And the great thing about Devin Booker is this is his first playoff appearance. He has scored the most points by any player that has not made the playoffs. It's in and around. It's 9,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells you, do you know what I mean? That tells you the work that he's been putting in without getting into the playoffs. And now he's coming up against the Lakers, who bring so many viewers. But the great thing is that D-Book won't back down. You get me? You're going to get a push from Booker. But ultimately, the Lakers may be too strong if Chris Paul's hobbled, which is just heartbreaking.
Sucks.
We want to see it
happens every.
It might even go 7 if Chris Paul's healthy. You know what I mean? Might even be 4-2 to the Suns.
I just want Chris Paul to be healthy for an entire series, for an entire playoffs, 1 year. Like, seeing him go down is just so painful. He deserves it.
And then Lob City Clippers, when Chris Paul was healthy, Blake goes down.
Yep. The Rockets one was just like, oh, they had the Warriors when he went down and for game 7.
Whoa.
That was brutal. Oh,
I think we don't look back at James Harden and Chris Paul as a backcourt. Like, I don't think at the time we viewed them as a truly elite backcourt. I think in hindsight, 5 years down the line, we'll go, holy shit, Chris Paul and James Harden played together.
They almost took down that Warriors team. That was like a historic backcourt, and if they would have won that series, it would have totally changed people's mind. But I think you're right. Hindsight, we will appreciate that a lot more.
Nightmare. Fuming. Get well, CP.
All right, let's go to finish this out with some predictions.
All right.
Western Conference Finals. Who do you got?
I've got the Lakers. Goddamn.
I know. This is hard. The West is hard.
Oh God, I'd love the Lakers and the Mavs.
Yeah, that's my pick. I think Lakers Mavs. I think it's gonna happen. Like, who else is? It's like the Jazz. Oh, give me a break. Like, it's not gonna be the Jazz. Nuggets and Trailblazers neither like have the supporting cast to really do it. I think it's got to be that.
I think if the Clippers win convincingly, everything changes tonight. And it goes 2-1, and we could be seeing the Clippers Lakers. I don't know.
I don't either. I think it's going to be Mavs Lakers. I would love to see it. All right, let's go to the East. And you have Lakers going to the finals out of the West.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah,
certainly.
I can't pick against it.
LeBron James until he proves me wrong.
Can't pick against it. All right, let's go over the East. Eastern Conference Finals.
Brooklyn, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Holy Are we shit. Being too boring? Should I pick the Nuggets to get there? I'm also I'm looking at the bracket now. Oh no, it has to be. It has to be. You're right. That's the semis.
Yeah.
So it has to be the Sixers.
Yeah, it has to be the Sixers.
So who? Nets or Bucks?
Oh my God. Yeah, that's it, mate.
That is going to be an incredible semifinal.
Oh dear. That's it, mate. My immediate thought was just, give me Milwaukee, Brooklyn. It turns out I'm going to have to see that in the second round. Sorry, yeah, give me the 76ers and the... damn, fair play. Joel Embiid in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what I need to see. Who's going to win out of Brooklyn and Milwaukee? Oh, dear. Give me Brooklyn, Philly.
Yep, I got Brooklyn, Philly. I got Nets making it to the finals and winning it all. I just don't see how you can stop these three.
Yeah, it'll be very problematic. We need to see them match up against the Lakers.
There's nothing. There's one play where they just ISO'd KD and James Harden, put it into the post. KD was like, "All right, are you going to double me or are you going to double James Harden?" And then they just easy three-pointer. Marcus Smart
comes over and doubles KD.
Yeah, you're just KD fucked.
Just passes it back to Harden.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. It was like Jackie Moon, like pass it right back. Oh nope, now let's put it back in again.
Man, oh dear.
I think the Nets are going to win. All right, Yanni. Any final thoughts?
Great sport in the world.
Agreed. Love it.
Just the best sport in the world, mate.
The best. Shout out number one pick, Larry. Thanks Shout for coming Larry, on, man. Yanni.
Shout out to Larry.
I'll see you soon.
And top shooter.
Top shooter. All right. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, man.
Safe, bro. Thanks for having me on.